From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, April 28th. Coming up, we'll check in with Uniting Pride of Champaign County about the challenges of connecting with young people who identify as LGBTQ+ during the pandemic. That conversation in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a massive health care law pushed by the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus. Derek Cantu has more.
The new law seeks to close and study multiple equity gaps in healthcare, including mandating implicit bias training for healthcare professionals. It also grants criminal immunity for patients who overdose on illegal drugs and aims to treat community violence as a public health issue. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, the first black female lieutenant governor in Illinois' history, said the law means Illinois recognizes and will address longstanding inequities in healthcare.
This is why I appreciate the Legislative Black Caucus four pillars, because with each pillar, they went below the surface to tackle the root causes, which is a key precursor to systemic change.
The law also invests millions of dollars in state money for services meant to bring down Illinois' black maternal mortality rate. Only one Republican in the legislature voted for the law. Most GOP members said Illinois couldn't afford such steep investments, despite agreeing with many of the law's goals. I'm Derek Cantu.
Elsewhere, the governor appears to be walking away from a campaign promise about how Illinois' new legislative maps should be drawn following the 2020 census. While running for governor in 2018, Pritzker pledged to veto maps made directly by lawmakers, political party officials, or their staffs. But that's exactly the redistricting process now playing out in Springfield, with Democrats rushing to meet a deadline before they lose their partisan advantage. 3 years ago, Pritzker also said an independent commission should handle the map-making process with or without a constitutional amendment mandating that redistricting mechanism. But yesterday, the governor recast his campaign vow.
I will veto an unfair map. I've also said that in order for us to have an independent commission, we needed to have a constitutional amendment. That did not happen.
Republican lawmakers are crying foul, pointing to past statements from both Pritzker and other Democratic leaders. Similar measures introduced by Republicans have been held up in Springfield for months. A bill to create a permanent advisory council to study the Mahomet Aquifer is moving through the Illinois General Assembly. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The Mahomet Aquifer provides drinking water for more than a half million people in central Illinois, and State Senator Chapin Rose of Mahomet says an advisory council could work to learn more about the underground water source, like the locations of former landfill sites over it that could pose a threat if they're not monitored.
All these small towns have got former landfills that were in use before modern era design standards came about, and nobody really knows what's in those landfills.
The Mahomet Aquifer Council would include officials from state and local governments, plus manufacturing, farming, and environmental groups. Rose's bill to form the council passed the Illinois Senate unanimously last week. Decatur Republican Dan Calkins is sponsoring the measure in the House. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Public health officials in Champaign-Urbana reported 39 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The current number of active cases fell to 409, down from a recent high of 488 last Friday. And the death toll is now 144, with two new deaths reported. County officials also report more than 300 doses of a COVID-19 vaccine were administered on Monday. More than 68,000 people are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19 in the county. That accounts for nearly 40% of the vaccine-eligible population and almost a third of the entire county population. Carl Community Health Initiatives will host a walk-in vaccination clinic at Salt and Light in Urbana today from 9 a.m. to noon and 1 to 3 p.m. or as long as vaccine supplies last. Anyone 18 years or older is eligible for a vaccine. Early lineup is discouraged, and face coverings and social distancing will be required. Still to come, a check-in with Uniting Pride of Champaign County. We'll learn about the challenges they face reaching young people who identify as LGBTQ+ during the pandemic. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, this is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st. And I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. For many young people who identify as LGBTQ+, the pandemic has led to a greater sense of isolation at a time when they need community more than ever. Daria Shagabi is the programming director at Uniting Pride, a nonprofit dedicated to promoting visibility, wellness, and equality of the LGBTQ+ community in Champaign. She's also an LGBTQ+ activist and a queer parent. Shagabi spoke to Illinois Public Media student reporter Carolina Garibay about how COVID-19 has affected the ways her organization connects with the youth they serve.
We have had to move all of our programs virtual, all of our support groups and everything like that, which did make it a little bit more inaccessible for folks, like especially our youth. Our youth can't, if they're not out to their parents, they can't Zoom in. Like, how are they going to do that? Your parents can hear you. But I mean, on the other hand, we did have some folks who, due to like physical limitations, were able to now attend our groups. And also made us like reevaluate like our mission. If our mission is to help communities live happy, healthy, vibrant lives, how do we do that with this slim budget?
And then how did you adapt your mission, or what did you do so that you could still serve the community and carry out your goals when everything was so much harder?
With everything that went on last year regarding like Black Lives Matter protests, the murders of like people of color, Tony McDade, who was like a Black trans man, everything like that. We formed the anti-racist committee. We have like a solidarity statement and a framework that we abide by now. But and we've increased our trainings. We want to provide support and help folks know how to be allies and be affirming and welcoming.
And then I was wondering also if you could just briefly explain how you would define queer parenting.
I think that queer parenting is like radicalizing parenting and doing it while being like a sexual or gender minority. I mean, my daughter is like exploring her own gender identity and just has this different set of beliefs regarding gender and sexuality, and it's hard to define.
The first thing that a lot of people might think of is queer parenting. Oh, someone who identifies as queer and is a parent, but you're saying, is it more the parenting style is just not, you know, your traditional, I guess, a parenting style that a lot of people picture when they think of a family. Am I correct in that, or is it there's sort of more layers to that?
Yeah. I mean, like, to sum it up, it's just like rejecting that, like those patriarchal heteronormative rules that society has set for you and saying like, I'm going to raise my child to be anti-racist and open to being accepting and affirming of all identities. When I was first pregnant, I had to advocate for not only like being able to care for my daughter at a young age, but being queer.
I'm curious what brought about these youth programs in the community. Did you see like a specific need for these programs?
Our youth programs have been around for a while. We actually, before I came on in my role, we only were doing youth programs. And research shows that queer youth, LGBTQ youth, just need one supportive adult to reduce their risk of suicide.
The last thing I want to ask is sort of, in what ways do you think the community still needs to improve in supporting and uplifting LGBTQ voices and creating safe spaces for them?
Our community needs to go past just being allies to being like active supporters. We also need to become more intersectional. A lot of people get really uncomfortable when we start to talk about that. But I mean, if we look at like homicide rates, the highest rates of homicide are Black trans women. And our community just needs to realize that, because it's a community effort. We can't protect each other and help uplift each other unless we all work together.
That's Daria Shagabi, programming director at Uniting Pride. She spoke with Carolina Garibay. For more information about Uniting Pride, visit unitingpride.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely late in the day and a high of 77 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Derek Cantu, Jim Meadows, and Carolina Garibay. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.